Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. From Boots to Biz Radio, sharing helpful information and practical insight about the franchise industry for the military veteran entrepreneur. Now, here's your host, Bill Williams.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to From Boots to Biz Radio. And as usual, I'm joined by my wingman, Kevin Finn over here. Kevin.
Hey, Bill. I'm doing great.
Good, good, good. Kevin, today's show, I've wrote Ted Daywalt's name down when we started this program, and finally caught a gap in his travel so we can have him here. So, Ted, thanks for coming.
Glad to be here.
Good, good. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I guess probably 3 weeks ago at least, we had the Value of a Veteran, Lisa Rosser.
Oh, they were great. Oh,
she's a fantastic person. Her booth was next to mine at Sherm Talent Management Show. We ping-ponged customers back and forth. She does a fantastic job out there helping companies.
She's done great, and they're really expanding. But she threw out a number that about 9%, 9 to 13% of veterans pursue an entrepreneurial.
That's probably about right. I generally use 15%.
15?
But a good number of veterans are natural entrepreneurs. And, I was one of them.
Yeah.
I did five companies.
I should have been.
three of my companies talk about it, two we don't. But but a lot of veterans have found the beauty of going to franchises. We're working with the IFA, as you know, and the USFA to help veterans get franchises. In fact, we did a study 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, with a franchise that gave away six free franchises to veterans. Big competition was held, and it's called Made Brigade. It was a franchise.
Yeah, I know.
And all six of those people still have their franchises going strong. And the beauty is, with a franchise, when someone comes in, the rules and how to do things are pretty much codified. You don't have to reinvent the wheel too much.
That's right.
And military people can follow things.
That's right.
Real good.
We're used to systems.
We are used to systems. And so when you go into a franchise, the biggest problem I've seen is trying to get funding for veterans.
Sure.
Now, we're working on trying to get about $500 million out of SBA or some others. And different other people are trying to help raise money. I think it would be a great thing because, see, and we'll talk about this later on in the program, but the area where the veteran unemployment rate is the highest is in the National Guard and to some extent the Reserve. It's about 28% of all National Guardsmen, about 120,000, are unemployed. Well, we figure about 15% of those people wouldn't have a problem of unemployment with their constant call-ups if they owned a franchise.
Well, true.
Or maybe more. We don't know. But and there's a lot of benefits to that. When they leave, their family or friends can run the franchise, so they come back. And what's really neat is that when they come back, you can't file a USERRA complaint against yourself.
That's right. Well, and you're also creating employment for other folks, you know, including veterans.
So. Well, veterans have this real bad habit of hiring other veterans.
Yep. Because there's an element of trust. Well, let me back up a bit. You know, I want to, you founded VetJobs. And that's what we're talking about today is VetJobs. In 1999, you're president and CEO.
Right.
Okay. And you talk all over, you travel extensively, you talk all over the country, you publish some books.
Right.
Get interviewed by people like CNN and
I'm on Fox and
Fox
60 and Minutes, NBC, you name it. We've been
so
out
we
there.
Can't get away from you, is that?
Well, I'm an advocate.
There you go.
And if any of you are employers that are listening, by the way, hire veterans.
Yes. But, yes.
Yeah, we really push that. And it's important because, see, these are the people that fight for our country.
Yep.
These are the people that make it possible for us to have a free enterprise system.
That's right.
And that's why I think they should be hiring veterans. And there's been a lot of misinformation out there in the press. Or not misinformation, but people not interpreting numbers right. The overall unemployment rate for all veterans has always been lower than the national unemployment rate. Right now, the unemployment rate for veterans from last month is 7% with 8.1% for the national.
Yep.
And I can take those numbers all the way back to World War II. It's always been lower. And even in this bad recession, it is being shown and demonstrated numerically that veterans are having a better, are actually doing better finding jobs than non-veterans for a whole host of a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. But we started vet jobs because in 99, I was kind of semi-retired. God's been pretty good to me.
Okay.
And I'm active in a lot of veteran service organizations, you know, the VFW, the American Legion, and Vietnam veterans and different other ones. And a sergeant major who was retiring from Second Army gave me a call. And he'd been talked into paying an outplacement firm, whose name I will leave nameless,
good,
$5,000 to help him find a job.
Oh, geez.
Now, he'd been out about 2 months and hadn't even had an interview yet.
Yep.
And I said, you know, we got to stop our people from being ripped off. And I say our people because, yep, you know, I'm a fifth-generation veteran military person. I did 28 years in the Navy. And, mm-hmm, you know, I wanted this stuff stopped. So I hired a consultant. We did a survey, and I was appalled at what I saw, and especially the way that they were targeting the spouses of veterans. And I said, we got to stop this. So I wrote a business plan. I went out and put together some money, most of it mine. And while I was financially okay, I didn't have the big bucks to go head-to-head with Monster and who owns military.com or with CareerBuilder. So I did it through alliances. And we went out and asked the VFW if they would come in behind us because they're the most politically powerful of all the veteran service organizations. Good. And they said, yeah, you and everybody else have been by there to get their endorsement. And I said, well, we're going to do it anyway. So we launched on November the 11th, Veterans Day, 11
yeah.
a.m.
Yeah.
Big launch, front page of USA Today and NBC and everything else. Went off real well. And then over Christmas, this gunny sergeant down in Florida was having trouble copying and pasting his resume onto the site. He didn't know how to copy and paste. So I asked him, where'd you see us? He said, on the VFW site. I went, what? So I called up the VFW, and they said, yeah, Merry Christmas. We're going to endorse you. So went out there, and they not only endorsed us, they actually bought 10% of the company.
Good.
And it's 50% of the reason why this company's been so successful.
Well, they've got a large membership and that's active, and so very good. Well done. Well, give us, I mean, vet jobs, you know, leading internet niche job for veterans in the country. So, but tell us more about, because I've been to the website, you know, and you've got tons of information there. You know, I mean, you could spend days on there.
Yes, you could. Actually, we're more than just a job board. We're a full-service employment site. We always encourage people to start in our employment assistance section. In there, we have a great article of the 20-some-odd things you got to be doing to find a job.
Yep.
Understand that only about 3% of jobs that are filled are done career fairs.
Right.
Even though we list all the upcoming military-related career fairs on our site, our competitors, everybody,
yep,
only about 3% of jobs are found that way. About 45% are found off of niche job boards and 45% through networking. And in our employment assistance section, you learn how to go out and network. You learn how to use the other job boards. In fact, we list all the other job boards that we consider to be legit because there's a lot of ripoffs out there.
Yep.
By niche, meaning occupation, starting with accounting and all the way down to welding. By geographic location, the comprehensive job board is the big boards like Monster, CareerBuilder, Employment Guide, and those. Mm-hmm. And then the aggregator sites will go around and just copy jobs and put them out there and make it look like it's a job board.
Yep.
But we want people to be armed with the information to go out there. Of course, we got about 60,000 jobs in our database that are real jobs from employers. And then if you don't know where you're going, any road you take is going to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people come out of the military and really don't know, well, what can I do?
What do I do now?
Yeah, what do I do now? So we looked at all the behavioral technical career assessment tests. And one that really stood out and was recommended by many of our customers was one called CRI. And I went out and met with Milt Cotter, who is the president of CRI, and told him, we really like your test. It's one of the better ones in the country, probably ranked in the top 3 or 4. And we'd like to have it available for veterans. He said, great, it'd be $250 a copy. I said, no, you don't understand. It's got to be free.
Yeah.
We went back and forth for a while. He finally donated. He's given 20-some-odd thousand of these things away for free. And any veteran who comes on, it'll take you an hour to hour and a half to take the test.
Wow.
But you get this 12, 14-page printout that slices and dices you real well and really gives people direction on what they need to be doing. Then they can take that information and then go back into the employment assistance section and understand, okay, I need to be looking at these types of companies. I need to be looking at this area of the country to work in, or I need to do this type of work if I'm going to be successful. It's a fabulous, fabulous tool.
That's fantastic.
And it's free to the veterans, their spouses, and their children.
Wow.
When we started this site, Bill, we weren't just for the transitioning military, yeah, for the veterans. One of the reasons why our traffic is so large, a lot of the job boards out there, they concentrate like just on the Marines or mm-hmm. on junior military officers, mm-hmm. on the junior enlisted. And we said, no. You're looking at all these bushes here. I want the whole forest.
Yep.
So we go from E1, the most junior enlisted, to O10. Mm-hmm. All their spouses, we go with all 10 uniform services. Everybody thinks Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marine Corps. Well, a lot of them forget that National Guard,
yep.
Federal Reserve, the Merchant Marine, the National, the Public Health Service, and NOAA are also uniform services under Title 10 U.S. Code.
Okay.
And we threw in the DOD civilians in there, too, but because they got security clearances.
But, most of them are veterans anyway.
Yeah, many of them are. But we put them in there, and that is why our traffic is so strong. I mean, that and our big push on social media, you know, we get like 10,000 visitors a day to our Facebook page, but we are getting 700,000-plus visitors a month to our site, over 20,000 a day. On Easter, we hit a peak. We had over 25,000 people visit the site on Easter. I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a staggering number, you know. And you were telling us earlier that it's a quality visit because you have ways to measure that they're looking at the number of pages and not just turning it on and then going back and watch the football game for a while.
There's all sorts of ways to evaluate what makes a good website. Some people like to use time on site. Of course, there's problems with that, because people just turn on their computers when they leave and go home at night, and it's on all night long, so yeah, it's a false indicator. But what really counts is how many visitors do you have and how many page views, and then you divide the two. We're averaging around 21 page view per visitor.
Wow.
And with us, when someone comes to the front page, then they go to search jobs mm-hmm. and types whatever it is they're looking for. On their third page, they're looking at jobs. On some, you'll go through 8, 9, 10 pages before you actually look at jobs, because they're trying to get their page count up and they're trying to sell you advertising. Well, we have advertising too, but we actually have a mission. The VFW, who owns part of us and sponsors us, mm-hmm. the Vietnam Veterans of America, the Military of the Purple Heart, the National Guard Association, they have given us the mission of making sure our veterans and their spouses and their children get good jobs.
Great. That fits perfectly with, because one of the things we talk about here on Boots to Biz Radio is that we're here for military veterans and spouses, you know, and first responders. We extend out to them. So let's go back a little bit. You know, you said that the unemployment rate, you know, was lower than the average, but why is the perception out there that young veterans are having trouble?
A lot of the perception is because certain pieces in the mainstream media, and
no,
I happen to be a conservative, so
yeah,
we'll put that up front. But they will see how the young veteran unemployment rate, which has been at times in the high 30s and mm-hmm. has come down considerably, they say, well, it's because they were in the military and because they were in the war and they got PTSD
yeah.
and everything. Well, let me tell you something.
They liked it.
Anybody who goes to combat has a little bit of PTSD,
yep.
you know, and yet a whole bunch of us came back from Vietnam without a whole lot of problems. It's still, you know,
that's right.
It's a misperception because they're only focusing on that one thing, and people automatically think, oh, this applies to all veterans. Well, it doesn't. And in reality, the reason why the young veterans are having so much problems in terms of the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those young veterans that are unemployed are in the National Guard.
Okay.
National Guard, you know, the National Guard, even the military, is a young person's game. You know,
sure.
I'm 64, so I wouldn't do real well with a 90-pound backpack on.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Through
those
the
days
desert
are
right
over,
now.
Aren't they?
Yeah, those days are over for yeah, forever. But because they are young, but more importantly, because they have been called up so many times. You know, to be fair to DOD, they were charged to go fight these wars.
Yeah.
They couldn't bring back a draft. The Congress wasn't going to let them expand the size of the military. So the only choice they had was use the National Guard and Reserves
yeah.
as a backdoor draft. And to give an example, here in Georgia, our brigades, National Guard brigades, mm-hmm. Georgia National Guard, we call them gang, in 10 years made 6 deployments of 12 to 18 months. Most of the people in the Georgia National Guard were on at least 3, some of them 4 and 5 of those deployments.
Wow.
Now, stop and think about how difficult that might make it to be able to keep a job.
Yeah, no.
And then what happens, and this is why so many employers discriminate against the Guard, when the Guard comes back, when a reservist comes back, well, they just go back to work until they're called up again. Might be in 2 years, might be 3 years, might be 5 years. But when a Guards person comes back, and then you have an emergency in the state, who does the governor call? The governor calls the National Guard.
Big storm.
And that happened here in Georgia. I use it as an example in my testimony in Congress. A brigade had come back 18 months in Afghanistan. They were back about 5 weeks. We had flooding down in Columbus and Macon. What did the governor do? Because the Guard reports to the governor, not to the DOD.
Right.
The governor called up 2 companies, and one of those companies just 5 weeks earlier had come back from Afghanistan. So imagine all these people going into their bosses saying, gee, I'm sorry I was gone for 18 months. By the way, I'm going to be gone for another 3 weeks because it's flooding down in Macon. And they're saying, no, you're not. You're fired.
Yep.
And USERRA complaints just went out to the top.
Wow.
This is because of the current call-up policy, and which went into effect January the 11th, 2007. Before then, there were only about 5,300 USERRA complaints. USERRA is a law that says you got to rehire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
A year, about 5,300 a year. By 2010, there were 34,612
wow.
USERRA complaints because companies were saying, I can't run my company with you taking away my people all the time.
Yeah.
And you can't blame the employers.
No.
And so, and that's why, in fact, if we didn't have such a high unemployment rate in the Guard and the Reserve, the overall unemployment rate for all veterans wouldn't be 7%, it'd be around 4.5%.
Wow.
Because, see, with the administration having cut the active duty forces back to 900,000, you now have more people in the Guard and Reserve than you do on active duty. We haven't had that since World War I.
Yeah.
And they want to cut another 100,000, moving back to 800,000. Well, right now, the Guard and Reserve is 52% of our total fighting force.
Wow, that's... how come we're not hearing that on the news?
Oh, don't get me going.
I know. Okay, I know. So, that's great information. You know that. So, how do we help? You know, these guardsmen, these reservists. You know, what is a GI coming back from his second enlistment? You know.
First of all, I want to say not just the Guards people, not just the military people, not just the veterans. Think about their spouses, too.
Oh, yeah.
My wife served 28 years in the Navy.
That's right.
Because I did 28 years in the Navy. And the spouses go through as much hell, sometimes more than the military people. And there's a lot of things we can be doing. If you have a company where the job is somewhat repetitive, but they can make a good wage, this is typical in manufacturing. Typical in things such as, Department of Agriculture,
mm-hmm.
Those types of employment. It's a great spot. A lot of military go to work for the government. It's unfortunate that the largest violator of USERRA is the federal government. And the two leading agencies that violate it are the Department of Labor and U.S. Department of Defense, which are the two federal agencies charging with doing that. And we could talk for a long time about why that happens. But
you going to bring that up when you talk to Congress next week?
On Tuesday I am, but I've brought that up many times. And in fact, when we did the USERRA program on 60 Minutes, Leslie Stahl turned to Undersecretary Tom Hall and said, why is DOD always one of the top 5 violators of USERRA every year for the last 15 years? And his jaw just fell off of his face. And he went, well, we have some things we need to work on. But if you can have a job where someone can leave for a while and then come back, it's great. And the guards people have lots and lots of skills.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
across the board.
If we were talking about veteran unemployment rate 25 years ago, it wasn't the young veterans.
Yeah.
Because they were getting great jobs when they came out. It was the old guys.
Yeah. Like
over,
how do you spell PC?
Yeah, bingo. They had all the technical skills, but they didn't know how to operate a computer.
Yeah.
And one of the best programs the Department of Labor ever did was they put in the workforce centers this 30-day computer program, teach them how to type and, you know, do Word and Excel and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, their unemployment rate went from the high 20s down to almost nothing. It's because they weren't afraid of that black box anymore.
Yeah.
But today, the veterans have the same skills. It's just that the young veterans are being called up so much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a problem with a lot of women veterans. Their rate's been rather high. And what some of us are starting to think is that the welfare system pays so well, rather than go get a job, just go on welfare. And there's starting to be several studies documenting that. But the but when you're looking for a veteran, you know, those who come off and totally separate from active duty mm-hmm. get the jobs. And the numbers show that the employers prefer to hire them over people that were not in the military. And really popular areas where veterans like to go into are...
Talk about that.
Yeah, information technology.
Okay.
Senior enlisted and... junior military officers make great program and project managers.
Mm-hmm.
Sales and marketing is a natural because military, by their nature, are persistent.
True.
and they aren't afraid of rejection. I mean, hell, we have people shooting at us. I mean, much more rejection do you want?
I always took that personally. That's right.
I once had there was a large company that makes this off-the-road equipment stuff. Located up in Illinois. And we were having this nationwide meeting with all their HR people. And this one lady said, I'm not sure that they would do well in our plants. I said, oh, really? I said, well, can you help me out, ma'am? Do you know who your biggest customer is right now? And she went, oh, I'm in HR. I'm not in sales. I said, well...
That's a problem right there.
Yeah. I said, your biggest customer is the federal government. And within the federal government, your biggest customer is the Department of Defense. And all that equipment that you're sending over to Iraq and Afghanistan is being fixed, not by your technicians, because they don't want to go into a war zone, because mm-hmm. people have a tendency to shoot at you over there. They're being fixed by members of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard, and the Marine Corps. And you know why they'd love to come and work in that 2-million-square-foot plant you got there in Peoria?
Because they already know how to do it.
Well, she said, why? And I said, because it's air-conditioned, and there's nobody shooting at them. Right. It's like all these light bulbs went off. And they went, oh, yeah, they probably would. And they hired lots of veterans.
Good.
And in fact, they've been a big proponent of hiring veterans. And, you know, that's what's interesting. I can only think of one company... and I deal with tens of thousands of companies, mm-hmm. that I would call anti-military. I can only think of one that has an internal policy. Everybody else is very supportive of the military. And the real reason is that they understand the importance of having a strong military so we can have our free enterprise system. And they want to hire military, and which is why those who totally separate, for the most part, not that there aren't some having problems. I mean, you know,
sure,
well, we're in a bad recession.
There always is.
But for the most part, they are getting jobs. The unemployment numbers show that. But they can't go broke, you know, hiring them. And that's
right.
The problem with the Guard and Reserve. And so what happens now, what we see happening, are they announce a brigade. We did a study in Iowa. And 160 days before they were deployed, it was announced a brigade was being called up. By the time they were 50 days out from deployment, 750 people had been laid off under the guise of the recession. Because the employers have figured out, if I lay you off before you get your orders in hand,
doesn't count.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm not subject to you, Sarah.
Yeah.
Now what we're seeing employers do, and I can't blame employers for this, because I've run very large organizations in the past. Now what we see them doing is going to employees that are in the Guard or the Reserve, and they know they're hitting their 20-year mark. And they say to them, Bill, if you quit the National Guard, if you quit the Army Reserve, or you quit the Air Force Reserve, whatever, I'm going to give you a $100,000 bonus after taxes. Some of them have gotten as high as $300,000.
Wow.
And if you got a person who's making over $100,000 in a company and they're a key employee, you don't want them being taken away.
Yeah.
That's a sound business decision.
Oh, it's an investment. Yeah.
It's an investment in the employee. And the real problem, you know, for the Guard and Reserve is the call-up policy. But for those that don't get out, and you're always seeing that Guard and Reserve are having trouble with their recruiting, meeting their numbers because people understand what's happening. But for those who don't affiliate with Guard and Reserve, they're having, for the most part, not a lot of problems. Now, in terms of the cities where they do the best in, it happens to be the cities with the, you know, the 10 fastest-growing cities in America. You know, Raleigh, North Carolina, Austin, Las Vegas, Orlando, Charlotte, Riverside, San Bernardino, Phoenix, Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, Fort Worth. You notice three of those are in Texas?
Yeah.
No, and
yeah.
You notice
growing
every,
economy, yeah.
Every one of those are in right-to-work states.
How about that? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and I don't want to get onto the thing about unions and everything, but there's reasons why they tend to go there. I mean, stop and think about it. If you're an electrician in the Army for 20 years, and I can walk circles around any other electrician, are you going to go to Ohio where you got to be a journeyman apprentice at $9 an hour? Are you going to go down to Atlanta and make $75,000 a year?
Well, just weather, weather alone,
and the weather too.
Yeah.
But it's you know, they have the skills. If anybody's been in the military more than 12 months, they have skills that employers want.
Well, and some of the trouble though is the veteran may not know how to interpret or to talk about those skills, you know, to an HR person like you mentioned a few minutes ago. What I was a company commander, I was a squad leader, and they're thinking, you know, G.I. Joe or something like that. You know?
That's where the beauty of the CRI test translates all that for you into civilianese, if you will.
Yep.
And there's a lot of military, you know, job
acronyms.
Converters out there, Career Builder, and a whole bunch of others have them. They're all based on onet.org. If you go to onet.org and you can type in your MOS or what you did in the Navy or what your officer code was, type it in there, and it'll tell you what civilian jobs are equal. But there's a drawback to a lot of that. Right now, we got about 700 nurses on our site that have their resumes up. They want, about half of them don't want a nursing job. They want out of nursing. Now, those military converters are great if I'm going to, say I'm a welder and I want to stay in welding. Oh, that's great. But if I'm a welder and I want to go to college, or I want to go be a teacher, or I want to go into the ministry or whatever.
That's not going to translate.
No. Now, we get a lot of people that call in now and they say, I'm going to get out. I go, great. You know, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go to college. And I say, well, why do you want to go to college? I say, so I can make money. I went, oh, you're a hull technician in the Navy, right? They go, yeah. I said, you know how to weld? He goes, yeah. I said, how'd you like to make $55 an hour? No degree required.
No.
And they go, what? I said, yeah. You know, it's an amazing statistic that there was one article I saw in USA Today, and there's been a few others that are starting to wake up to this. Mm-hmm. Over the last 20 years, because everybody's being pushed to go to college, that only 2% of our high schools now teach shop. Now, I went through high school in the 1990s, but a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, and when I went through, I took three shops because there's three easy A's. And, because there's only 2% of high schools teach shop now, you have even though we got 11 million people unemployed in the country, some people say 12, you have huge shortages of welders, carpenters. I mean, here in
skilled
Atlanta,
labor.
Skilled labor. Here in Atlanta, listen to Superior Plumbing. Mm-hmm. They'll pay somebody $3,000 if they refer in a good plumber and they hire them. And these plumbers started around $50,000, $55,000, can start as high as $70,000. And you would think, wow, you know, make $70,000 as a plumber? I said, yeah, because there's a shortage. And people didn't want to do that. And the you know, right now, if you were to, if you're a certified welder and you went over into the oil patch, you know, going from Texas up to Montana,
Dakotas,
and on up into Alberta, Canada, we helped move about 1,000 veterans up into Alberta when the Keystone Pipeline was stopped, and the they are getting roughly about 110,000 base. And then with unlimited overtime, some of them are making $250,000 to $300,000 a year.
For welding?
For welding.
Not, what am I doing sitting here?
I know.
why didn't I take welding shop?
Yeah. I used to weld in the when I was in the steel industry. I told my wife I was going to throw a secondhand unit on the back of a pickup truck and drive up to Montana. She said, no, you're 64. You're not going anywhere. But you know, I'll give you an example. When we're coming back from the VFW convention, you know, the VFW sponsors Vet Jobs, and it was held in Reno last August, and my wife and I were sightseeing, and I got a call. Fox wanted me on their program, so we ran over to Salt Lake City, and we spent the night in a town called Elko. It's up in the northeast corner of Nevada, and it's not the end of the world. The end of the world's about 2.5 miles north of the but it is out in the desert.
Yeah.
And it's a cute little town. But the we pulled in this Comfort Inn, and I wanted to get a room. And the lady said, sir, they're in a room within 50 miles of here. I said, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's Elko, Nevada.
The mines have taken off. They got gold, silver, borum, and one or two other minerals that are they're pulling out of the ground. And they're bringing people in. The mines have rented every hotel in the town.
Wow.
To put people up in. And they've got some fields out there with all these little RVs and neat little lines, yep. Sewer lines and everything. And I was, while she was calling around trying to find a hotel for us, which was 55 miles to the east, I was talking to these mine supervisors that were sitting there killing a case of Budweiser. And and they were telling me, I told them, well, you know,
You got any
veterans here? Yeah. Oh, yeah, man, we love veterans, blah, 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 blah. We can't get enough of them. And I said, well, do you have any unemployment here? And this one guy popped around and said, yeah, we got some unemployment. Hell, they make $40,000 sitting in their apartment. They get an Obama card, and they get a transportation chit and Obama cell and blah, 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 blah. And he says, they'd rather sit there and drink beer rather than come out here and do work. And that's why he is paying $25 an hour for unskilled labor.
Wow.
That just drive a pickup truck from the main office out to the mines, take equipment out, water out, everything, bring stuff back, going back and forth, $25 an hour. And yet on the other side of the state, you got Reno with 18% unemployment.
Yeah.
And so the question is, have we developed a welfare system that now encourages people to stay where they're at? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But for those who want to get out and work, and want, I tell people, you know, okay, great. You got a bachelor's degree. Still having trouble getting a degree with a, you know, a job with that degree in history? Why don't you go over here to Chattahoochee Tech?
Yeah.
And become a welder. Become a scaffolder. Become a carpenter. Become a plumber.
Kevin, your girlfriend. She could be a plumber.
Exactly.
Well, you know, another job, and this is natural for a lot of people in the military, because we work on electronic equipment all the time.
Yeah.
You know, an infantry person in the Army of the Marine Corps, they are an electronics technician to some degree because they wear these helmets with all this fancy stuff and everything on, and audio identification, friend info, and everything. If something goes wrong, you got 3 minutes to fix it, or you become a target on somebody's grid. And, you know, they are, in essence, a bench technician. And a lot of those people come out, and they guys say, well, I can't find a job. And I said, what you doing in the Army? He says, well, it's infantry. And I said, what suit did you wear? And they tell me, and I go, okay, go apply to these companies. We're looking for bench technicians. And he says, what's that? I said, that's somebody who can take apart the equipment and put it back together again. I go, really? How much do they pay? $35 an hour.
Knock down the door there.
I was speaking at a CEO conference one time at a business school. And one of the CEOs there said, I was introduced for the companies I'd run before, not for what we were doing at Vet Jobs. And this one CEO said, I'm having trouble finding really good, strong managers that we can groom up and make them vice presidents. I said, great. Why don't you
JMOs.
Hire JMOs or senior enlisted?
Yep.
A hiring program for senior enlisted or JMOs. And he said, oh, no, no, I need people with real world experience.
Real world, yeah.
I stood there for a minute, and I said, Mike, you don't know this. I'm a retired captain from the Navy. How many of your vice presidents, before they could take their job, irrespective of their degrees, had to go to school for 16 weeks, and every Friday they had to take a test? And if they didn't just pass a test, they had to excel on that test. Mm-hmm. They got fired. And he looked at me, what? I says, and then when they get out on the job, they find they're managing maybe 12, 13 people in an $80 million budget, which in civilian terms is incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they make a mistake with their equipment, they take Duval County and the city of Jacksonville off the face of the earth. And he looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, I just gave you the basic job description. Oh, by the way, they have collateral duties too. I said, yeah. I just gave you the basic job description of a weapons officer on a frigate in Mayport, Florida. And by the way, she turns 22 next month.
I love it.
Yeah. They have no idea. I mean, that's...
He just looked at me like, what? Well, first of all, he couldn't believe it was a woman. But
yeah,
22? You give people 22 responsibility for nuclear weapons? I said, yeah, lots of them.
Yep.
Yeah. And he just couldn't understand that. And that is why so many military, when they get out, they'll bounce from the first two or three jobs because they can't find a job that challenges them.
Yeah, they become underemployed in a sense.
Definitely.
Yep.
I had
That's a great point.
HR manager I was speaking at a SHRM, Society of Human Resource Management Conference. Mm-hmm. And this one lady said, well, I've hired military before, but they didn't work out.
I love that voice. We all know someone like that.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah, we all know somebody like that.
In HR.
Yeah. Yes. In HR, yeah. Well, no, there's a lot of good HR people.
I know.
But I said, well, what did you have the person doing? He said, well, they were doing data entry. I said, okay, do you know what they did in the military? Oh, he was some sort of a chief in the Army. I said, a chief?
Wait a
okay.
minute.
So he's probably either a warrant officer or a gunny sergeant, something like that. He probably managed maybe 100 people. And you have him doing data entry?
Yeah.
No wonder he quit. And part of the problem here, Bill, is that we've had an all-volunteer military for 42 years.
That's hard to believe. Yeah, that's true.
That's two generations of people. They have no idea what we do in the military.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And how technical the military is. You know, it's amazing when you stop to think that 60% of the enlisted personnel in the military can program in at least one language.
That's pretty
wow.
strong.
Yeah.
When I, you know, before we got started, you know, I put my cell phone over there and everything.
Yeah.
I go give speeches and I like to pull out my cell phone and say, how many of you got one of these? You see everybody pulling them out, going, you know, turn them off. And I say, do you know where this technology came from? And they go, from AT&T? I said, no.
No.
I said, this came out of Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know, he's a sergeant out there on Hill 341 and I'm a major back here at I Corps and I want to talk to him without the North Vietnamese listening in, because see, during World War II, when we were doing broadcasting, it was in the open air.
Yep.
But I didn't want them to listen in anymore. So I got to have an omnidirected transmitter, and they need an omnidirected receiver at a specific frequency. Hopefully some little encoding in there to boot, encrypting. Mm-hmm. And that became your cell phone today.
Yep.
I like to go to IT conferences and say, how many of you here are database managers? Oh, a whole bunch of people right saying. How many of you know Oracle, RDBMS? Oh, yeah. I said, you know where Oracle got that from? I said, well, Oracle invented it. I said, no. There was a chief, an intelligence chief, at the Intel Center in San Diego, who's collecting massive amounts of information on the Chinese and developed this program to keep track of it all. That became a relational database management system. And some Oracle people were in there and saw that and said, boy, can we use this?
Yeah.
So much of what you have and what you do on a day-to-day basis came from the military. But because we've had 42 years, two generations of people with no relationship to the military, they don't know this anymore. In fact, your donuts, by the way, came from the English military. They did. They were originally hardtack. And they put a hole in the middle of them so they could stay on those old wooden steering wheels.
Oh,
and you wouldn't lose them.
That's cool.
That was the start of your donut today. I go on all day.
And
long.
Then there was, okay. I was talking, brings back Donut Dolly from Vietnam, but we won't go there.
Mm-hmm.
How do we overcome that? How do we educate people? How do we get the those
that's where
population that hasn't experienced military experience?
You just mentioned Lisa Rosser.
Yes,
she is
what a mission.
She is doing a yeoman's job educating companies,
and she's Army, by the way.
Yes, I know, Lieutenant Colonel.
Yes,
and very sharp lady.
Yes,
vet jobs, some of the other military job boards. And see, we do this through our relationships with veteran service organizations in educating employers why they should be hiring. Now, DOD has not done the best job of educating the public as to what the military brings out. And they know this. They're working on it. They're trying to fix their TAP program, which is that's a transition assistance program, and it's a total disaster. And probably will be for a while yet until they finally accept help from civilians who actually do the hiring. A lot of us are trying to educate people as to why they should be hiring veterans. And it's working, because that if it wasn't working, the overall unemployment rate would be much higher.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It wouldn't be low. And since we've been pounding the drum about the National Guard, where the young veteran unemployment rate was 39.7% in November of 2011. It's down to the 20s now. And I will say the vet jobs had a lot to do with that. And it's...
Congratulations.
Well, we're proud of it. But you know, the VFW, the Vietnam Veterans of America, the National Guard Association, the Enlisted National Guard Association in the United States, they've all been out there trying to educate employers. We go to HR meetings. I'm on TV, radio, newspapers all the time. They tell me I have a home in Roswell, Georgia, and I think I'm going to it tomorrow. it needs to be put out there, because these people are important to our society.
Absolutely.
These are the ones who die for this country. When people say, why should we spend so much money helping veterans if their overall unemployment rate is lower than everybody else? I say it's because they die for this country. Mm-hmm. Do you die for this country? Are you willing to go out there and put your life on mm-hmm. the line, knowing that you got a 1 in 6 chance you're going to get killed,
mm-hmm.
or 1 in 20 chance you're going to be wounded? I'm sorry, 1 in 20 chance you're going to be killed, 1 in 6 chance you're going to be wounded?
Mm-hmm.
And they go,
no.
No.
Yeah. No. So,
some of us did that.
I
did 28 years in, and the one thing that I was always proud of, knock on wood every time, said none of the people I was responsible for ever died.
Wow.
I was scared to death all my life. How do I write a letter home
sure.
to a parent or a spouse or a loved one saying, I'm sorry, your son or daughter, blah, 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 blah.
I had to write one of those, and I still think about it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That can rip you up. That can rip you up.
Yeah.
But it's because of all this press, a lot of veterans go out there with the attitude, well, nobody wants to hire me.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bit of, and we started this networking group that meets once a month. We just had a breakfast meeting yesterday morning up in Roswell, mm-hmm. or in Johns Creek, actually. It's a business networking group. You know, we're not a leads group, or, we're not trying to be the VFW or anything like that. You know, and one of the things that keeps coming up is, well, how do we reach out to the veterans? Because they could come in, we could help them, we could get, we've had job referrals, things like that. But they tend to drift off, and how do we get word out to them? Hey, just come on in and have breakfast with us, have a cup of coffee. You never know who you're going to meet.
I encourage things like that. Here in the metro Atlanta area, there must be about 60 or 70 major churches that run jobs ministry. I ran the one at Mount Bethel for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of military networking groups. Rich St. Dennis does a great one.
Yep.
Mel does a great one down at the cafe there on...
Cafe. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
And
cafe.
That's where we started our group from. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of groups like that. I encourage people to get involved with those. But also make use of sites like VetJobs and others.
Yes.
Go get involved with a veteran service organization, a VFW, a Legion, a VVA, whatever, I'm in the DAV. We do a lot of, Disabled American Veterans. And we do a lot with helping people like that, because the military has a built-in network.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
The trick is getting people to understand it's there and tap into it. Now, and we have found making use of social networking sites has done a lot for us. 4 years ago, we were only getting about 150,000 visitors a month, which was twice what our competitors were getting. But I said, we're missing a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so we got real big into Facebook and LinkedIn, and I mean, it's like 300-400 of these social networking sites out there, and Yahoo groups and all that type of stuff. Yeah. And now we're running at over 700,000 visitors a month.
Yep.
That's wow.
21 to 22,000 people a day. This morning at about 10:18, we peaked today at 3,400 people on the site.
At the same time?
At one time.
Wow.
Wow.
So we want that for Business Radio X.
Exactly.
But you know, so us, military hire, corporate gray, other good job boards, yep, have been getting the word out. And it's not as bad now as it was, say, 5 years ago. But still, I'm concerned about the problem in the National Guard.
Sure, absolutely.
And until the policies change, anything that's done is just a Band-Aid. So we're working on that up there.
Well, and you're going to... But this next week, you're going to be talking to a congressional committee, right?
Yes. Well, last month I testified before the House Veteran Affairs Committee. I do a lot of testifying in Congress, not just because of its vet jobs and what vet jobs does. And I again made a comment, except this time it got picked up in the press. And I said the current DOD call-up policy is making the members of the Guard and Reserve third-class citizens who go die and fight for us. When they come back, the policy makes it impossible for them to get a job, and that's why the unemployment rate is 28% in the National Guard and probably about the same in the Reserve. Well, there's a new caucus in the Congress. It's called the Congressional Veteran Jobs Caucus. It's made up of 79 members of Congress, both House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats, bipartisan. I've been invited to come in and talk about the problem as we see it at Vet Jobs, and also talk about why Vet Jobs has been so successful in getting people jobs. I mean, we've had people get jobs at the low end at $9 an hour. Mm-hmm. I had a 3-star that got a job at $1 million basis, a direct entry partner, and everything in between.
It's not bad.
No, it helps when you got 3 stars on your shoulder.
Yes. I'll tell you a story when we get off here about that. I had a question and I lost it, Kevin.
That's fine.
Summarizing, we're going to tell people in a minute how to find vet jobs, but what final word would you like to send out to veterans out there that are about to get out or thinking about it, or in their spouses also that might want a job? So.
Plan, do research, know what it is you want to do. Take those tests, because if you don't know where you're going, any road you take will get you there.
Right.
Of course, I would tell them to use Vet Jobs.
Well, yes.
Because we're
that's why we're here.
We're at www.vetjobs.com, in case you're wondering. Yep. For the military types, that's Victor Echo Tango Juliet Oscar Bravo Sierra dot Charlie Oscar Mike. Don't give up when you don't find exactly what you want. Also accept the fact that maybe what you want isn't in the area where you're living.
That's right.
And you may have to move.
Yep.
I had a
North Dakota wouldn't be bad for, $60 an hour?
I mean. Oh, no, you'd live real well up there at $50 an hour. But I had this guy move down to Florida, and in the military, he handled ammunition. Well, he's down in Hillsdale, Florida. And he calls and he's complaining, I can't find an ammunition job. I said, because there are no ammunition jobs in Hillsdale, Florida.
Yeah. You know?
It doesn't exist down there. He said, well, that's what I did for 28 years. I said, well, guess what?
Yeah.
You're going to have to move. and some people don't want to move. Okay, yeah. Well, then that means you got to take your skills and go apply it to something else.
Learn how to transfer those skills.
Transfer those skills. And that's what the CRI test helps you to do real well. And anybody who is an E4 or above in the military, mm-hmm, has the one thing that most companies need the most. It's called leadership, mm-hmm, not managementship.
Right.
Leadership.
Right.
And, when I was in the steel industry, I was hiring people as supervisors in a steel plant who had never been around steel before, but they were military.
And they knew how to lead.
They knew how to lead.
Yep, that's right.
And that's what I wanted.
Yep.
And that's why we did well until steel died. But the I did the same thing when I was in the chemical industry. I'd go out and hire people out of the military, and I had our president back in Texas saying, these guys have never sold. They've never been around chemicals. I said, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
I can teach them how to sell. I can teach them this stuff. But what we need
is leaders. Yeah,
I need good team leaders.
Yeah. You just made me remember my first real corporate job was with a company called Miramont, manufacturer of automotive aftermarket. Mm-hmm. And this was back, you know, in Vietnam era and right after. But they would go and they hired strictly JMOs, you know, and, you know, to run their distribution system, their plants and things like that. And it was great because you come in and even though, you know, Pat over here is, you know, as a naval officer and, you know, Kent was a Marine officer, you know, we already had a bond and we knew how to communicate with each other. And it was a great move on their part, you know, for several years there.
You know, a lot of people when they come out, they think, okay, I'm going to go try and get a job at Home Depot or with Office Depot or with Humana. They go with BNSF Railway. They go with big brand name companies. Well, those are great companies, by the way. They really do hire a lot of military, Walmart, et cetera. But sometimes your best job opportunity for fast progressive growth and taking on a lot of responsibility quickly are in companies with only 200 to 300 people in.
That's right. Or smaller. Yeah.
They're smaller. And because they're smaller, you get a lot more dumped on you.
Which you can also, you know, it's easier to do, look and see what your impact is. You can measure, you know, what you've done. I've always steered people to smaller companies.
We got a lot of smaller companies on our side, as do the other military job boards. You know, like here in Georgia, you go down to Georgia, you know, GTRI, Georgia Tech Research Institute. Kennesaw State has an incubator.
Yep.
And go up there and say, hey, what companies are incubating right now that needs a leader or needs somebody to come in and actually work? And I say actually work because military aren't clock watchers. You know, they don't sit there, well, it's 5 o'clock, I got to go home. You know? If you want to have fun, go to Washington, D.C., and go over to the U.S. Department of Labor office and be at their front doors about 5 minutes to 4 o'clock. Don't be close to the front doors.
Don't get in the way.
But at 4 o'clock, bam, these doors burst open, and these people are coming out like ants out of an anthill.
Yep.
Military, and the ones that are left in the building, they're veterans.
Yeah.
Military, I pick on the DOL, they know that. But military companies like the fact that, you know, especially in manufacturing, or like in the oil fields, so something goes wrong, and you got a wellhead that's burst open. You can't say, "Well, it's 4:15. I gotta go warm up the car." You know, I'll see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You stay there till it's fixed. You know, when I was on board ship at sea, and when something go wrong, one of those boilers, you know, dead in the water is not a good thing, especially if you're in a combat situation.
Yeah,
you become a big gray target. You know. And you, if it means you're up for 24, 30 hours, you're up as long as it takes until we got everything working right.
Yep.
And the military's used to that. Another great spot for a lot of military is expatriate work, going overseas. You know, we're used to being moved all over the place.
Yep,
I'm 64, and I've moved 37 times in my life.
Okay, yeah.
Courtesy of Uncle Sam. And you get... You know, military, I've lived in South America, I've lived in North Africa, I've lived in, you know, they gave me orders for 3 years in London, England. Boy, it was wonderful. I even got to see it for a few times. But it's, you know, the military is used to being moved around like that. And that's why a lot of international companies love to get a hold of the military. Because if they say, okay, you're living in Guadalajara right now in Mexico, but we need your skill set over in Singapore. Sure, I'll go to Singapore, you know, and off they go. And, you know, letting companies know that you're open to relocation.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. Yep. Great point. Good. And you touched earlier on, you know, entrepreneurship and franchising and, you know, you know, that's a great opportunity for that percentage of folks that, that want to pursue that path.
Mm-hmm.
That's our primary mission here. So our, you know, we'll, we're going to exit out to close. So thank you, Ted. It has been terrific. We're in www.vetjobs.com.
That's right, V-E-T-J-O-B-S.com. Our toll-free number is 877-838-5627. You don't have to remember the numbers, just remember 877-VET-JOBS.
Good.
We have customer service reps who, when people looking for a job call in, their job is to help you find a good job. And that's another reason why we've been so successful. Try and call in a monster and talk to somebody about help for a good job. But I'm picking on them. But at any rate, that's why they're for sale. But no, yeah. We've been very successful. I've been blessed with a really great group of people to work with. We're also biased. You can't work at Vet Jobs unless you're prior military, married to the military, or child of the military. We practice what we preach.
That's okay. Yeah. So it's a company that's run by veterans for veterans.
Yeah. Correct.
Very good. Very good. Kevin, it's time to hit the road, right?
We could go for another hour. This is
It's been a great great conversation. Thank you so much, Ted.
I could easily go. We haven't even gotten in my data.
You're not even halfway through your notes yet.
We're going to have him back, definitely.
I think so. Yeah.
I would be more than happy to come back. I travel a lot. But for those listening, if you're a veteran, you actually stand a better chance of getting a job right now than the non-veteran. That's been proven.
That's important to know.
And for the those who are employers that are listening, there's a reason why all those other employers are hiring military. And if you're not, you're losing
out.
You're
losing out. Yeah. That's right. So, thanks again. This is Bill Williams. I've been your host for From Boots to Biz Radio, where we're trying to find more Vietpreneurs and create more jobs and franchise owners. So come back with us next week, and we'll see you then.